We're gonna move some things around. So while we're doing that, you look like you were enjoying each other by greeting each other. So why don't you take a break and just get around and greet somebody that you haven't greeted yet, and we'll set up over here. What happened to that like thing that you guys used to put on my head? You're not using that thing, the helmet of salvation? I met a fellow, Ron, this morning, and we had a bit of a chat. He's back there with the bright orange shirt. And we talked about how things are changing rapidly. And we talked about, like, I know a fellow who is allergic to horses. And if he gets anywhere near a horse, he gets allergies. And Ron mentioned that allergies seem to be, you know, happening all the time. Things that I've never heard, ADD, stuff that I never heard when I was younger. And so things are happening and changing rapidly. But what I want to talk about with you within the next couple of minutes is something that is unchangeable and what life is basically all about. My son handed out a little handout, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to teach you a tool on how you can witness. Now, the idea would be that you have a friend at the bowling club, and you know they're not a believer, and you've been friends, and you've dined at their home, and they've dined at your home, but you've never really articulated the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And so I'm not trying to get you to be evangelist. I'm just trying to teach you a little tool on how you can share the good news of Jesus Christ. It might be a cousin. It might be a nephew, you know, that comes over for Christmas, and they're about 8 years old, and you get to sit them down, and you get to share them, this little illustration. So one thing that you need to do is, by the way, I forgot, I usually start whatever I share and to ask you for a raising of hands. How many prayed for me? There's one, two, three. Okay, you're getting better. And so the idea for those who've never heard me share that is that I'm only a man. And I'm, you know, I have clay feet. But if you pray for me, then the Holy Spirit can intervene in spite of Ram. Something can be done and God can be here. And then when the pastor is sharing, the question is, are you praying for him during the week? And what I've noticed, what we have a tendency is it's really easy to criticize the pastor. He's too tall. I hate tall pastors. No, this guy's too short. I hate short pastors because you can't see him on the pulpit. Or this guy talks too much. They just, all of them, you know. Or the other one just tells too many jokes. Or one, you can barely hear him. Or one is too sad. And so it's really easy to complain, but we need to go to God and pray for that pastor to do the job. And whoever comes up here, you need to be praying. I felt last time I shared at the end of the time I shared, I didn't feel like I had really accomplished what I wanted to do, and that was somebody's fault because I had done my work. So I just want to challenge you that when you hear a speaker, get involved, and right now, pray for me that I would not be embarrassed, that I would be uncomfortable, my hands wouldn't get too clammy. I don't know what it is, you know, your hands get clammy, but your throat gets dry. It'd be good if it was the other way around. And so let me share this. Now, the idea would be... that you're sitting at a table, maybe in a coffee shop, and you have a serviette there, and so you're drinking your coffee, and you open up the serviette, kind of like that, or your friend is at your home, and you take a piece of paper, and you open it up, and you write this down, okay? How many here know Romans 6:23? Okay, good. So let me write that down. And Ramon, why don't you come over here? and why don't you quote that verse?
Okay. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Good. Great. I wanted to have Ramon do it because if Ramon is 11 years old, can memorize scripture, we all can. Now, this thing with scripture memory has become a very divisive and controversial issue in the church. It used to be that we memorized verses, right? It was no big deal. You'd go to, what do you guys call it? And you'd memorize a verse, and when you were a kid, you got some lollies, right? I don't know how that works, but you give the kid a lolly, and then the sugar goes into his head, and he gets hyper, and then you yell at him, "Stop that!" Well, the reason I'm excited is because you gave me a lolly. But anyway, so you write that verse down. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you write that verse down, Romans 6:23. Let's do that together, okay? Repeat after me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, let's do it again. Follow me and say it like you mean it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more time. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's found where? You got to say, when you're memorizing a verse, it's good to say the address twice, because that's the first thing you're going to forget. Romans 6:23. Okay, so you've written that out with your friend. By the way, this is an aunt, a friend, a nephew that you've had other people pray. Say, look, I want to talk to my nephew. I want to talk to little Johnny about Jesus, about the gospel. Let me share this, why I'm sharing this. There was a time, a long time ago, I met a fellow by the name of Dave Brown. And I started discipling him. And he went well, and we did Bible study. He was a teenager. He did well. Now he's in Colorado Springs ministering with the Navigators. I found out just recently from a friend of mine that I had led him to the Lord. I had shared the gospel. My assumption was that since he went to church as a young person, he was already a Christian. But I was wrong. And then another episode at another church that I was a youth leader, and I was sharing the bridge illustration, right? And one of the girls that started coming to the group had just made a decision for Jesus Christ. Well, I'm Baptist in background, and the Baptists tell us that after a person has accepted the Lord, within 24 hours, they ought to share it publicly. They ought to say it out loud, right? It's for their benefit. So the gal is sitting over there, and I'm watching her for the corner of my eye. Now, all the other kids were church kids, and they had been going to church, you know, all their lives. And I taught them the bridge illustration. And my assumption, right, was that they were all saved. So I'm concerned about this girl. I'm watching her in the corner of my eye. And so I say, is there anybody in this group who've accepted the Lord as their Savior this year? I'm watching over there. But what happens while I'm watching there, all of a sudden, about half of the kids in the class raised their hands. They were church kids, been going to church all their life, but somehow they never took the initiative to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. So half of the kids were raising their hand. So the reason I'm sharing this is don't assume because the folks are going to church every day that they know Jesus. It's something that we need to repeat. What's the book you're reading with Jerry Bridges? Yeah, one of the things he says in the book, in the beginning of it, he says, if you expect me to say something new, I'm not going to say anything new. I want to go back and review the old stuff. And because things are changing, we need to get back to the basic roots. So I've written this out, and then I draw two clips. Yeah. And I put the word God here, and I put the word man here. Okay? So the gospel is the good news, but before we hear the good news, let's talk about the bad news. Here's the bad news. What we do is, first of all, I put a little square around the word wages. Wages. Let me ask you, what does the word wage mean? Help me here. Anybody? What's that? What you've earned, exactly. Right? So the wages is what you've earned. So at the end of the week, you get paid, you give Julia carbon tax, and then you get what's left over. So the wages of what? What's sin? What's sin? Rebellion against God. Sin is rebellion. So what we've earned because of our sin is what? Now, death is an interesting word. Because before I was a Christian, I thought when the Bible talked about death, it was just talking about me physically dying. But death is more than that. Death is separation from the Father forever. That's real spiritual death. So this is the bad news. So I'm going to write the word here, wage. What we've earned. Then I'm going to write the word sin. And then I'm going to write the word death. But here's a wonderful word. But, however, now for the good news. All right? Let's put a circle around the word gift. What's the difference between wage and gift? That's right. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve this. That's why the gospel is so incredible to the academic community, because they don't get it. You're talking about getting to go to heaven and you didn't earn it, because everybody wants to earn it. We're prideful, right? Ephesians 2:8-9 says that if we earned it, we'd be up there bragging. You know how come I got to heaven? You know, well, how come you did? You know, but we can't earn it. Okay, so it's a gift. From what? From God. Now, in the beginning of time, man, here's Adam, had a direct relationship with God. But because of sin, there was a great separation between God and man. And then the other news is eternal life. Okay? And then at this point, what I would do, you don't have to all do it, but at this point, what we're taught to do is give the person the pen and ask them, which side would they rather be on? Just put a little tick. So they'd say, oh, you know, this sounds good. Eternal life, God, right? But then you ask them, well, where are you? And then they, hopefully they'll put a tick there because it makes the illustration easier. But sometimes they might put a tick out here in the middle. And then you ask him, how come you say, well, I haven't made up my mind. And if they do tick over here, they say, well, why are you on God's side? He says, well, I've never done anything real bad. I've never murdered anybody. You know, but what does the Bible say? That because of your sin, you're separated from God and you need a mediator. And that's the next word. Christ Jesus. And that's where we draw our bridge. Christ, Jesus. For your old timers, can you remember the old song, Like a Bridge Over Troubled Water? Remember that? And they said that at the time, Garfunkel alluded, this is during the Jesus movement, he alluded that bridge was Jesus Christ. It's interesting that later on he recanted and he was bitter and he kind of took it back. But whether Garfunkel believed it or not, Jesus is the bridge over troubled water. Now, here's an interesting thing to explain to people. Notice it says, Christ Jesus our Lord. What kind of salvation are we sharing? Kind of a cheap, easy Jesus? I make a decision, I come forward, and then I live the rest of my life the same way? Well, that's not the gospel that Jesus taught. What does the word Lord mean? What's that? Authority, right. He's the boss. He's the boss. So we make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. And then you ask the person, do you know any reason why you wouldn't want to trust Jesus right now and pray and ask Jesus to save you from sin? And then all the person has to do is, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner and I'd like you to come into my heart. And that's all that the person has to do. Well, basically what you've done is you've shared a clear gospel. Because sometimes the gospel gets very cloudy and people are not really sure what it is to do salvation. I've talked to people who says I go to a certain church or I do a certain activity. But that's the gospel, so that's it. And Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper wherewith I sent it. So God guarantees, you know that? That the Bible is guaranteed that God is going to do what he wants to do with his Bible. All you have to do is use it. How many are going to read the Bible this year? Okay? You got a new year, and some people make, at the beginning of the year, make a resolution, and they last 2 months, and all of a sudden, you know. Well, we got another chance to get through the Bible, and let's start again and read the Bible this year. Well, that's what they call it, the one verse evangelism. You've got the handouts for it, and I want to challenge you to look at it. Let's do the verse one more time. Do this with me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Okay? So now, look, I wanted to make it short because they say that if you do a short sermon on a hot day, people will think you're a great preacher. And we like that guy. We have him come back, you know. He got it out of the heat. But look, what I want to share with you, what I shared before, which is serious, is that some folk possibly in this room, though they come to church, have never really made a decision for Jesus Christ. And with that assumption, I'm going to pray. And what I'll do is when I pray, I'll hesitate. And if you've never done that, you pray in the privacy of your own heart and ask Jesus to come in. Reason I share that, once again, was my own life. I had accepted the Lord as my Savior, but I wasn't really sure. I wasn't really sure. And then I had an opportunity to clarify that, and so I did it again. Now, I think it was 7 days before that is when I accepted Jesus. And then I did it 7 days later. It's okay. If I got saved then, God knows it. But I assured myself on the seventh day. So I'll pray. I'll hesitate. And you in your own heart can pray and ask Jesus in your heart. And then I'll close and I'll give it back to the MC. Father God, we just would pray if anybody here has never accepted the Lord, that they might pray the sinner's prayer. Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I know I've earned death. And I'd like you, Jesus, because you died for me, to come into my heart, my life, and give me salvation, that I might live a life that Christ Jesus would be the Lord of my life. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. The thing about the gospel that blows my mind often is the simplicity and the power of the gospel, and that was it. I don't have to be a theologian and go to 20 years of Dallas Theological. Now, it's okay to go to Dallas Theological. They're a good bunch of people. But the simplicity of knowing Jesus. Ramon accepted the Lord when how old? 3 and a half? 3.5 years old, he accepted the Lord. He's walking with God. We know one fellow, he was three. I can't think of his name. James Pulio. The younger boy's 2 years old, hanging on the tree, and he looks in the window and sees James. And mother is sharing the gospel with James. James, 3 years old, right? So, you know, Andrew's hanging upside down in a tree. He's 2 years old. He's watching. James comes back out with a big smile. And so Andrew, 2 years old, says, what happened in there? He says, my ma shared the gospel with me and I became a Christian. 3 years old. The 2-year-old says, Andrew, hey, I want to do that. How do you do that? James leads Andrew to the Lord. And Andrew today is ministering in New York City on the streets of Bed-Stuyvesant in hard, hard areas. And his salvation was at 2 years old. See how wonderful? We talked about how God is wonderful. A 2-year-old can come to know Jesus and have significant impact. Thank you.